Amen. Death has died. Amen. And all those who are in Christ will live forever. Well, how many of you brought your Bible tonight? I hope you did. I hope that you're ready for the Word of God, because tonight we have, of course, you know, a Bible preacher, and he is going to take us into the Word of God. Brother Kenny, as I said last night, is a dear friend, not just to myself, but to many people. He invests in many, many people's lives. He is a man of the Word of God. He is a prayer warrior. Many of you, he prays for by name each and every day. Many of us, he sends devotions to us each and every day. He invests in people. And as we said last night, he is no stranger to Faith Baptist Tabernacle and to Mission Point Jubilee. And I know people who have traveled a long way tonight. Of course, some to hear the singing, but I know a lot of people who traveled a long way tonight just to hear the preaching of God's Word. And so let's welcome again to the stage and to the pulpit, Pastor Kenny Baldwin.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Love you. Appreciate it. What a joy it is to be back here with you all. We certainly thank the Lord for what God is doing and how God is blessing. I appreciate the music tonight. Aren't you glad that we serve a risen Savior? And he is in our hearts. Amen. Don't hesitate about that. We give God the praise. And we are always blessed and privileged to be back here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle Mission Point Jubilee. It's a thrill and a joy of ours every time we're here. Good to see you, Miss Brenda. We sure love and appreciate you. I still remember the first time I came here, and I was telling somebody the story last week. I got a call, and my secretary said, there's a preacher that wants you to come to Jamestown, Tennessee. And I thought, where in the world is Jamestown? And I tell you what, the first time I came here, I still didn't know where Jamestown was. And I was riding in the woods at night, and then my secretary said, they said you can stay at their house. Now I thought, good gracious alive, this is a setup. You're going to bring a black man down in the woods, Jamestown, Tennessee. And then he's going to stay at your house. I know what you're going to do. Take him out in the yard and shoot him. Well, I found. And so you know what I did? I booked a hotel in Nashville. We stayed in a hotel, drove down, ate dinner, and went back the same night, driving in the middle of the night. It was misty, and I had an assistant with me, and I thought, we're never going to make it out of here. From the moment I walked into their home, we felt like we'd met family. I came back the next year and stayed in their home, and came back the next year, and I told my wife, I said, you got to meet these folks. And then I said, we got to bring the kids. And I tell you, first time I ate, I thought, maybe I need to move to Jamestown. And the rest is history. We have just, God has built a relationship. You know, relationships are built, you know what I'm saying? And God has built a relationship with us and the All Reds and Faith Baptist Tabernacle. And all of you precious members here at this church, you mean more to us than we could ever describe. And then it was just a dream of us in our lifetime that our dearest friends in all of the world, by the providence of God, ended up here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle. We just sitting around talking about how many miracles God did just for them to be here. It really is a work of grace. And every time we come here, we are just refreshed, we are encouraged, we're challenged, we're motivated, we're inspired, we're exhorted, we're touched, we're ministered to in such a special way, and we are fed. Glory to God. We ate some good food today. The Sewell family, Miss Paula, thank you. She brought us pot roast and green beans and mashed potatoes. And rolls, I mean, that tastes like they were manna from heaven. I mean, in a black church, we put it like this. Sister Paula, you put your foot in them rolls, all right? Now, y'all, that's how we talk where we are. That just means you really did something good with those rolls. And I said, honey, did you taste it? She said, yes, I did. And then cinnamon rolls, just with, I don't know if it was some jam or something sweet at the bottom. I love talking about food, amen? And you talk about going to heaven one day. That's the best part about heaven, is eating and not worrying about it. Amen. And so we're so blessed, and everybody else just bringing us, I mean, Delilah and warm apple pie, and Miss Karen already sending us cinnamon buns and apple cake, and everybody else bringing us food. We just don't know what to do. So I need to hurry up and finish so we can get back to it. Amen. But I'm just so blessed. We're so privileged and thankful for all that you all do for us. I cannot begin to tell you. I run out of words how grateful we are for the folks here at Jamestown. I was walking up here to the point earlier today with the pastor, and I stopped past one of my favorite places here at Mission Point, and that happens to be the ladies' bathroom, and just happens to be one of my favorite places. I was preaching here, I don't know, Miss Brenda, it may have been 5 or 6 years ago. I was preaching here, and we had eaten one of those wonderful meals at her home before we came to service, and the meal culminated with a great dessert entitled Earthquake Cake. And I indulged, had never heard of it. It looked great. It's hard to find a dessert that I don't like. This was warm, gooey, just wonderful. I think I had some ice cream with it. Enjoyed every single bite of it. Came to service, preached as best as I knew how. And about towards the end of my sermon, I felt an earthquake going on in me. And I thought, if I could just get through this invitation and get out of this auditorium and get to the back, I'll get to that bathroom and it'll all be good. Well, somehow, either the Lord or the devil, we'll find out when we get to heaven. We'll understand it better by and by. Sent somebody to me right at the front row when I got off the platform and said, I want to tell you all the thoughts that God gave me during your sermon. I don't know if you pastors have somebody like that in your church. Feels like we all have at least one of them. And so he's going over everything that God spoke to him about. And this earthquake is about 9 on the Richter scale. It's hitting. And I'm sitting down while he's talking to me. And finally, he says, gives me his last word. And I go darting out and I rush straight out here and get to the bathroom. And I make it, thank the Lord. I slide in the home plate by the grace of God. And I sit down and I won't go on all those details. You don't need to hear that. You're a smart enough crowd. Amen. And so I'm sitting there just rejoicing in the Lord that I've made it safe to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice that says, I don't know what's wrong with me. I thought, what is that? Well, it wasn't long before I realized I was in the wrong bathroom. It's amazing what a few moments will do. A few moments before that, I'm trying to find a way to get to the bathroom. Now I'm in the bathroom, I'm trying to find a way to get out of the bathroom. I said, Lord, if you'll just get me off this stage to that bathroom, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Now I'm in the bathroom. I said, Lord, if you just get me out this bathroom with nobody seeing me, I'll serve you. I'd just been preaching about the way that our world was getting crazy. And the men are going to the women's restroom and women are going to the men's restroom. And we don't know what gender is what in America anymore. And lo and behold, here's a man in the women's restroom. I thought this time they're really going to shoot me. And so I'm looking for an evacuation plan, and I'm rushing as fast as I can to get out of it. I didn't hear anybody else. I thought, I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. And I got out that bathroom. Two teenagers were sitting on the ledge as I walked out. I said, that's the women's bathroom. And they said, yep, it sure is. And so every time I walk up to the point and I look at that bathroom, I just smile and say, great things happen in the women's bathroom at Mission Point. Let's give God the praise tonight for what he's doing. You know, the problem that night was that the door was propped open and I couldn't see the sign on the door. Today, the door was closed. It clearly says women. So I just make a vote. Can somebody make a motion that we keep the bathroom doors closed here at Mission Point? Thank you. I see a second. All in favor, say aye. All who oppose, go to another bathroom. All right. But I have so many memories, and we hope to create many more memories here with you precious folks here, Faith and at Mission Point. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm glad to have my wife and my daughters here with me, and I so appreciate them very much. 1 Chronicles 21. Would you give me just a few moments tonight? In God's Word, 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. If you're physically able, would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word? Thank you, Perry's, for the music. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My heart was stirred, challenged. And thank you for the sound principles from God's Word laced through the songs. So many times anymore today you hear song that's all sound and music. I like song with some substance to it. Amen. And I'm glad we've heard music tonight that's got substance. 1 Chronicles 21, as we'll bring this Mission Point Jubilee to a close. Verse number 18, if you would. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. Let's pray together. Our Father, I come before thy throne tonight, understanding that you are God, and beside you there is none other. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you're worthy to be praised. As your vessel tonight, I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I understand that although you don't need me, I certainly need you. Lord, we didn't come here tonight because we have nothing else to do. We did not come here tonight to get our ears tickled. These folks, many of them have driven great distances. These young people that are here tonight are facing an existential crisis in their lives that only you can give them victory over. Struggling couples tonight, single moms, those that are battling strongholds in their lives, some that are tuning in, many may hear this message at a later date. Nobody in the building tonight or no one listening in to this message came to hear a sermon from a briefcase. Oh God, we need a word from the Lord. Bind the forces of Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, and use the Bible like only you can. Do a great work. Bring this Jubilee to a close, and may we leave here stirred up, changed, and challenged to live for God more than we ever have in these last days. Watch over my sons while we're gone, and do a work right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The first verse of chapter number 21 says, Satan, like he often does, provoked David. How many of you know tonight that Satan is in the provoking business? He's a liar. Do you understand that? He'll never tell you the truth. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He comes to kill and to destroy. He does not want you to succeed. He wants to mess up your life. And he provokes David to do something that he should not have done. And he'll do the same thing to you. He'll try to get you to do something that you should not do. For David, this provocation was to number the people of Israel. Some of us might think, what's wrong with counting how many people you have? There's nothing wrong with counting. The problem was David wanted to count to see how many he had because he was leaning on numbers. Can I remind you of something? Numbers don't matter with God. You can have a few with God and win. You can have a lot without God and lose. If God be for you, who can be against you? And David need not count the people of Israel because he needed to realize that what he needed was not in how many troops he had. What he needed was in the God that he served. He did it anyway, despite his servant Joab warning him against it. And in verse number 7, God was displeased. Our antennas should rise anytime we do something that God is displeased with. Sometimes we do something that's popular. Sometimes we do something that others are doing. Sometimes we do something that our conscience seems to excuse. But if we ever do something that displeases God, it ought to bother us. God began to get a hold of David. David recognized he sinned. And God sent to Gad, who's a prophet, to David, I'm going to punish you, David. Gad tell him that he gets to choose his own punishment. One of three punishments. Listen to the choices that were given to David. 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed by your enemies, or 3 days under the sword of the Lord. Let me tell you something. David said, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. I'd rather fall in the hands of God. By the way, Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. When you fall into the hands of God, you can't beat God. You can't block God. But David said, there's one thing that I get with God that I don't get from man. Great are the mercies of the Lord. How many of you glad today that you woke up with brand new mercies? No matter how much you used them up yesterday, you got some new ones today. No matter how much you use them up today, you'll get some new ones tomorrow. Grace is when God gives you good stuff that you don't deserve. But mercy is when God holds back bad stuff that you do deserve. Somebody say, amen for the mercy of God. David said, I'll take the mercies of God. So he fell into the hands of God for 3 days. The Bible tells us in verse 14, in those 3 days, 70,000 men died. God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 15, as that angel was destroying, David looked up and God began to stop that angel and repent of what he was doing and stopped him and said, it is enough. And there that angel stood at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. God then sent through Gad the prophet again to tell David, go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite and build an altar. Listen now, our God is in the business of giving specific instructions. And if he gives specific instructions, we need to obey specifically too. So exactly what God said David did. To the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite he goes. Shows up to Ornan with a request. I need the threshing floor. Tonight, for the next few moments, I want to look at how Ornan responded to what was requested of him. Verse 23 says, he said, take it to thee. Let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. Notice these last four words. I give it all. I'd like us all to say that together. I give it all. Say it one more time. Now, here's where it matters. Ornan understood something that few Christians understand in America today. Ornan understood something that few church members understand. Ornan understood something that few of us will ever do in our entire Christian life. He understood that what God wanted from him, what his king wanted from him, was not a little, was not some, was not most. What was expected of him and what Ornan offered to his king was total surrender. In that passage, it was a threshing floor. But I hear Paul in Romans chapter 12 saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, God is not asking for a threshing floor. He's not asking for a ram, a lamb, or a bull. He's not asking for a blood sacrifice like he asked in the Old Testament. You know what God wants? He wants you to lay your life down on the altar of sacrifice and say, God, I give myself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. In other words, I shouldn't expect a Chick-fil-A chocolate chip cookie when I surrender my all to God. It's what I should do. After all, didn't God give his all when he gave his only begotten son to hang and bleed and suffer for our sins? I want you to understand something about Ornan tonight. He understood total surrender. We've sat here at Mission Point Jubilee 1 year again, starting on Friday night, listening to messages, listening to singing, hearing the word of God open and the bread of life broken to us, the Holy Spirit convicting us. But I ask you tonight, after several messages, after a bunch of songs, after much fellowship, after all of the stuff that we've heard from God's word in 2022, can you honestly say that you've given God your all? Or is it something that you're holding back? A level in your life that's off limits to God, somewhere in your life that God can't touch. Oh, we go to church, we read our Bibles, we pay our tithes, we sing in the choir, we're involved in ministries, and often we think I'm better than the next person. But could I tell you that the God that we serve, he deserves more than just a token pledge. He deserves more than just our name on the roll at church. He deserves more than just showing up for services, more than just getting involved in a ministry, more than just throwing something in the offering plate, more than just sharing a random gospel track with someone. The God that we serve deserves our everything, our time, our talent, our treasure, our home, our resources, our goods, our family, our dreams, our future, our past, our present, our everything. And tonight I want to challenge you from this man in the Bible by the name of Ornan, that every single one of us within this Mission Point Jubilee saying, God, if my future is uncertain, if my life has happenings that I never planned on, if things come in my path that I could not foresee, I can control this one decision in my life tonight. I give it all. What drove Ornan to make this decision very quickly tonight? Number one, he had a reverence for his ruler. A reverence for his ruler. I want you to notice that Ornan realized the problem. He realized the problem. Please look at verse number 14. 70,000 men died. Look at verse number 15. The angel with a stretched out sword was standing over Jerusalem. I want you to picture Ornan standing there that day with a threshing floor that the king could use. 70,000 men in Jerusalem had died. That was a big deal. Let me tell you something. One person dying is a big deal, but 70,000 men dying is a big deal. When the king came looking for that threshing floor, Ornan must have realized, I don't want another person to die. I don't want somebody else in Jerusalem to lose their life. It's a big deal when lives are dying. Could I tell you, it's a big deal when 3 out of 4 of our seniors graduate without their virginity. It's a big deal when 20% of 15-year-olds are involved in immorality. It's a big deal when suicide and depression and the drug epidemic is a big deal in our country. It's a big deal when we can't tell what marriage is anymore. It's a big deal when we kill babies and call it just stuff. It's a big deal when we can't tell what gender's all about. It's a big deal when we're redefined. It's a big deal when our kids are watching sitcoms, every one of them with at least one homosexual on it. It's a big deal when our world is throwing the Bible out of the churches and Bible out of schools. It's a big deal when we don't want to pray to God anymore. It's a big deal when God's name becomes a prefix to a cuss word. It's a big deal when somebody that wins an award for perversion and violating God's word calls him the man upstairs or the big daddy. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's got to wake up under this tabernacle tonight. We're not here to play bingo. We're not here to play Uno. We're not here to just talk politics. There's a world full of people that are dying every single day. Somebody see the sword. And when God wants your life, He's not asking your life so you can brag about it or post about it. He's asking your life so that He can use it to stop what's killing people every single day. Vernon looked up and he said, I realize the problem, but I want you to notice he also recognized the person. Notice what the Bible says, and as Ornan saw David. Are you looking there at verse number 18? The Bible says, go to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 20. Ornan saw the angel. Verse 21, and as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and bowed himself to David. Please picture, use your imagination. Here's Ornan threshing wheat. And to thresh wheat was to throw it up in the air and to let it bounce down. Listen to me. The wind in the air would blow away the chaff, the loose pieces from the wheat that didn't matter. It would get blown away. The heavy stuff would land down and would be kept. By the way, Psalm 1 says the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. See, when you don't walk with God, you're insignificant, you're worthless, you have no weight to you. I'll tell you what gives you value and weight and worth in the Christian life. The Word of God. And when the wind blows and blows everything else away, you can still land on the solid ground because you've got some value through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ornan's threshing wheat like he normally did. But on that day, he must have looked down the driveway and said, I see a chariot that ain't usually here. I see somebody riding down my driveway that doesn't usually come visit me. Somebody came to my house that doesn't hang around here every day. What it must have been like for Ornan to look down the driveway and see, that's not my boss. That's not my family member. That's not my co-worker. That's not my mama. That's not my daddy. That's my king. He came to see me. Oh my goodness. What in the world would the king want from me? Ornan recognized the person. And by the way, he responded. And he responded to his position. The Bible says he fell down before his king's feet. Why? He realized he was in the presence of royalty. I tell you what gets me happy tonight, that in Jamestown, Tennessee, a city I came to and didn't even know where it was after I left it, I'm glad that in the mountains here in Jamestown, Tennessee, on a Tuesday evening, not just anybody showed up, not just you and I showed up, not just citizens of this town showed up, not just somebody from Washington, D.C. showed up, Jesus showed up tonight. And when I preach to you tonight, I'm not pleading to you on the behalf of the president. I'm not pleading to you on the behalf of some millionaire. I'm not pleading to you on the behalf of some politician. I'm pleading to you on the behalf of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Look down the driveway tonight. When you listen to preaching tonight, don't see the preacher. Don't see the pastor. Don't see your friend. Don't see your parent. When you listen to preaching tonight, look down the driveway. You know who's asking for your life? Not just anybody. I'm talking about the Alpha and the Omega. bigger, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of Glory, the Lion of Judah, the way, the truth, the resurrection and the life, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. I'm talking about the rock of our salvation, our only firm foundation, a faithful friend who will not change, the cornerstone who remains the same, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, immutable. He can't change, eternal. He was, he is, and he is to come. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who's present. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the highway of holiness, the roadway of righteousness, the gateway of glory, the master of the mighty, the leader of the legislators, the overseer of overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The heaven of heavens can't contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him off your mind. You can't get him out your hands. You can't outlive him, and you sure can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stump him. Pilate couldn't find a fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave could not hold him. He's had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. There's been nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach Jesus, and he's not going to resign. When you listen to preaching, when you read your Bible, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, don't do it for your parents. Don't do it for your youth pastor. Don't do it for your friend. Don't do it for your mama. Don't do it for your wife. Don't do it for your parents. Don't do it for the next preacher. When you live your life in total surrender, do it for your King. Look down the driveway tonight to little old us in little old nowhere when we deserve nothing from God. I'm glad that the King came down the driveway tonight. Wow. He had a reverence for his ruler. Number two, he had a readiness to react. A readiness to react. I want you to notice he noticed the request presented. Grant the place of this threshing floor. Horton said, I'm listening. King, I'm listening to what you need. Listen to me, church, tonight. While I'm preaching a message to everybody, the Holy Ghost should be preaching something to you. Please listen to what he's saying. If he's pointing to your music, if he's pointing to your time, if he's pointing to your talent, if he's pointing to your money, if he's pointing to your marriage, if he's pointing to your prayer life, if he's pointing to your giving, if he's pointing to your stewardship, notice what he's asking for. Most Christians live in Smurf world. La, 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 la. We leave service. We enjoy the music. The preacher was fired up. It was good to see brother so-and-so there, but we miss what the Holy Spirit says to us. We're not here to kill time. We're not here to punch the clock. We're here because there's a God who sees the whole world at the same time, but he talks to every single individual. If the King came to your house tonight, don't you think you ought to listen when he asks for what he wants? He noticed the request presented. Notice he had no reason to pray. Take it to thee. Find me somewhere in 1 Chronicles 21 where Ornan said, well, King, I heard your request. Just give me a few moments to pray about it. I'll get back to you. It's amazing what we pray about. Listen to me. Prayer is important, but you shouldn't be praying about doing something God already told you to do. Somebody help me preach. Don't pray about tithing tithes. Don't pray about being a soul winner, soul win. Young people, don't pray about whether y'all obey your parents. Don't pray about whether y'all have clean, pure language. You ought to have clean, pure language. Listen, hey, when the King asks you for something, the nerve of you to say, let me pray about it. Hey, Ornan, you don't need to pray about something the King said. If the King said he wants it, don't you think you ought to give it? He had no right to procrastinate. He couldn't put it off. He didn't put it off. Why? His surrender prevented further loss, and it pleased the Lord. The longer we take to surrender, the more people die, the more people suffer, the more people don't know about Jesus. While we decide, I'll give God my life later, I'll serve him sooner, wait till I grow up, wait till I get out of a trial, I'll start being more faithful to church, I'll start reading my Bible more eventually. Let me tell you something, the longer we take to surrender, the longer folks keep dying. Let's not wait till the next day, the next service, or the next season. Let's do it now. Number three, and I'll finish. He had a reverence for his ruler. A readiness to react. And thirdly, he had a relinquishing of his resources. I give it all. Take it to thee. I want you to notice it was not a selfish attitude. Hey, grant me the place of this threshing floor. Take it to thee. Is that how you and God work? Is that how God and I work? I want it. Take it. Hey. God says, I want your dreams. Take them. I want your plans. Take them. I want your money. Take it. I want your children. Take them. I want your ideas. Take them. I want your habits. Take them. I want your thoughts. Take them. I want your mornings. Take them. I want your private time with me. Take them. I want more prayer. Take them. Listen to me. We negotiate too much with God. It shouldn't be a long conversation when God says it. I want it. Take it. It's not a selfish act. It was not a solicited act. Grant me the place of distressing for. Listen to the response of morning. Take the oxen. Take the instruments. Take the wheat. Isn't it amazing? He asked for one thing and Ornan gave him everything. Can I ask you a question? Are you penny pinching with God? I give you my Sunday morning, but you ain't going to get Sunday night. I give you my Sunday night, but don't you ask me for Wednesday. I'll give you the choir, but I'm not going to give you addictions ministry. I'll give you teaching a Sunday school class, but I'm not going to get involved in outreach. I'll give you once a month, but I'm going to give you every week. How about it, teenager? I'll give you 5 days for youth camp, but I'm not going to give you the rest of the weeks of the year. Hey, we ought to be like this with God. You ask for one thing, I give you everything. Has anybody ever regretted giving God everything? Not one person. There's no problem surrendering all. In the New Testament, there's a story where there's an offering taking place. And the Bible says Jesus, Mark chapter 12, stood over and watched the offering. I've often wondered, do we forget that every time there's an offering, Jesus is watching? Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour to your bosom. Sometimes people say to me, Pastor, everything's going wrong in my finances. I don't know what to do. Give your way out of it. Let God have something to work with. I tell our people, don't get nervous when I start talking about giving. I ain't talking about your money. Everything we own belongs to the Lord. So there are wealthy people that are pouring in of their abundance. I've heard preachers preach from Mark chapter 12 and condemn the wealthy people for putting in money of their abundance. There's nothing wrong with having a bunch of money and putting in money with your abundance. Jesus never condemned rich people for giving to the offering. They should. But he did commend this widow. Two mites. Not much of anything. And yet she put it all in. Some of you are thinking, well, when I look at the offering and I count it, they gave more than she gave. They gave more, she gave less. They gave a lot, she gave a little. I would submit to you that Jesus wasn't looking at it that way. At the end of the day, it wasn't who gave more, it was who kept less. And I want us to pause tonight and think about this when we leave. When you leave Mission Point Jubilee 2022, again, young person, when you leave here tonight, husband and wife, senior citizen, single adult, widow, widower, someone going through a tough time, when you leave Mission Point Jubilee tonight, instead of asking God, what have you given him? Why don't you ask yourself this question? What have I kept? It scares me to think. I was raised in a good home. Saved at 4, surrendered to preach at 9. Gave my life to reach my generation at 16. Preaching all over the country. Grown up sheltered. Listen. I can't help but give a lot to God. I've been so blessed. But at the end of the day, I can compare myself with other people and make myself think I'm a good Christian because I'm giving more to them. But at the end of the day, God doesn't judge me just on how much I give. He judges me on how little I keep. When you leave this Mission Point Jubilee tonight, how much are you taking with you? In just a moment, every single one of you, listen to me, teenagers. You're going to blink your eye and you're going to be 35, 40 years old. And you're going to wish you gave it now. A bunch of people in here that you look up to and they're enjoying the Lord right now. They wish they could have sat and heard what you hear right now when they were your age. I'm saying don't get in later. Get in now. Now, wait a minute now. Maybe you're getting closer to the end than you are to the beginning. And in your mind's eye, you're thinking, I don't have much to give God. The widow didn't either. Leave the service tonight, he said. Instead of saying, I don't have much to give, leave the service saying, I'm going to make sure I have nothing to keep. Because there is a need for more ornaments in 2022 that will respond to a worthy God this way. I give it all. Let's bow our heads tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I ask you tonight, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you put your hand up all over the building tonight? I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have Bible reasons to prove it. Raise your hand. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now I'm just going to get serious tonight. Listen, we're going to get home. We're going to get ready to go home, and it's going to be a whole other year before we get to do this again. Are you listening? Come on. I'm preaching as much to me as I am to you. Be honest. You say, tonight, God. You say, preacher, tonight, God put his finger on something in my life. I need to surrender. It could be something as small as my time. Some of you have a talent. Are you using it in church? Are you holding back treasure that could be given for the work of God? How many more missionaries could go to the field? How many more churches could be planted out of your church if you'd avail your treasure to God? This is a personal challenge. Have you ever said, I give it all? Look at him. He's the king. He's coming down our driveway to see us. Oh, little old us. Wow. How many say tonight, Pastor, God spoke to me. There's an area of my life that God deserves to be surrendered. Tonight, God has burdened me about my everything to him. Sometimes I'm complaining and whining and fussing and griping. Truth of the matter is, everything I have is God's. God deserves my all. God spoke to my heart tonight, convicted me. If that's you, would you put your hand up all over the building tonight? God bless you. Hands all over the place, my soul. Now, in just a moment, as we close this Mission Point Jubilee from the back to the front, just a moment, would you come to the altar on this last night and say, God, maybe I've said I surrender before, but some stuff I gave you, I took back. I don't know what you could do with what I have, God, but it's yours. Do what you want. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you put your hand up? I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Stand together, would you? Father, would you take this invitation? My meager words. God, America is under attack. Our world is in a spiritual battle. And how in the world are you going to get a hold of the world if you don't have a hold of all of your own? For every hand that went up from the back to the front tonight, I pray that the people of God would conclude this jubilee this year with a spirit of surrender. The devil wants our stuff. He wants our kids, our marriages, our potential. But God, if we bring it to you, give it to you. Oh, what you'll do. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to have a long invitation. The pastor will come in just a moment. I don't want to twist your arm. I certainly don't want to manufacture anything. You've had a long week. Some of you are tired, and justifiably so. But it's crunch time, folks. Somewhere I feel like the trumpet's getting warmed up. We're checking out of here soon. Hey, don't you want to go out surrendered? Hey, everybody's hurting. And that hurt something that you just can't drown away. But I tell you, in the midst of all this hurt, particularly this congregation of people has experienced the last week, I tell you what gives me hope in the midst of hurt. We're celebrating the life of a young man that went to heaven surrendered. Surrendered. Mission trip after mission trip. Who does that at this age anymore? You can't get young people off a video game long enough to hear you call their name. Here's a young man. I just want to give my life to the Lord. He gave it all. We're still here. Here's our chance. Will you sing through this? All to Jesus I surrender. From the back to the front, we'll just have a couple stanzas. When he starts singing, here's what I'm asking you. If this surrender thing is serious to you, from the back to the front, you don't even have to kneel. Maybe you'll just come, kneel, stand if you want to. Let's end this Jubilee with the spirit of surrender, letting God have it all. Sing, Pastor, would you? God spoke into your heart. Would you come? Come on. Come on, let's mind the Lord. Why don't you tell God he can have it all? How about it, families? Why don't you come tonight? Some of you husbands could lead your wives down this aisle tonight and say, God's going to get her all. How about it, young people? Maybe you walk this aisle right now and say, I'm surrendered. Others are still coming. We'll wait on you. My, my. Some others still coming, and God is still talking to you. Yeah, come on. God bless you. Yeah, come on, young people. God bless you. Some others still coming. God bless you. We'll wait on you. Just thank you. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Bless you. Yes, and you too. God bless you. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes we're saying, God, you can have all of it, but not that right there. Piano continues to play. We were pulling up tonight in the parking lot, and I said to my wife, how in the world do we even end up here? There's no way that my wife and family are here tonight at Mission Jubilee in October in 2022 unless God did it. Listen, it didn't start when Brother Fred called my office years ago to preach. It started on an altar as a 9-year-old boy. God, take my life. I didn't understand it at 9 that I'd be preaching at Mission Point Jubilee. But I understood something. This voice was his. My dreams were his. My plans were his. Let me read this verse, Pastor, and you come. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, Ornan's long been gone. Long been gone. By the way, so is David. Listen to the verse. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. You know the amazing thing about 1 Chronicles 21? Ornan gives up the threshing floor. It's years later that threshing floor becomes the site of the temple that God used. For years, people would experience the presence of God in a spot that was surrendered by a man that wasn't even alive when the temple was built. Maybe there's a teenager in this building tonight that will lay his life down on the altar of God tonight. And 50 years from now, you'll be experiencing something that God did with your life that you never envisioned when you gave it. Don't ever underestimate God. I surrender all. Let's sing that chorus together as the pastor comes. I surrender all. Sing it as a prayer to God. Sing it.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Oh,
you may be seated. Let's thank Pastor Kenny, Miss Bethany, their family again for joining us and being with us. I tell you what, there's two things as we leave tonight that are on my mind that God has been dealing with us. And man, I'm going to talk for just a minute if you want to just play. But two things specifically that are on my mind. And that is that life is short. And all that we have is God's. Life is short. Would you say that with me? Life is short. And all that we have is God's. Our time, our treasure. Listen, because time is short, we ought to be saying, God, what is it you want me to give? My time, what, my witness, my testimony. Time is short. We ought to be urgent about getting the gospel to the world. Urgent about surrendering our lives. And our young people, God has done something in our young people's hearts, and there's an urgency. And some of you weren't here for the funeral service of Elijah, who just went home to be with the Lord this week from our church, 19 years old, a young man studying in Bible school, preparing for what, seeking what God would have him to do with his life, and going to mission trips and contracting malaria. And in a rare instance, a rare case, it took his life. But some of you weren't at the service. But the theme of the service was simply three words: worth it all. And that was because when Elijah was going to the airport to go on the mission trip to Africa, his brother and him were rehearsing what could happen to him. In fact, very specifically, that he could get a disease and that he could die. And these were the words from a 19-year-old boy: if it happens, it will be worth it. Worth it. And if a 19-year-old boy can say it will be worth it all, then what about us tonight? To say, God, I'll give you whatever you want in my life. I give you everything. It is all yours. And I hope that as we leave Jubilee tonight, that we are impacted, that we are challenged. We've certainly been encouraged that God is in control and God is working in our hearts and lives. We're going to take an offering in just a moment. The Perrys are going to come back and sing one more song. But I want to just give you tonight, how many of you got one of these for next year? Save the dates. Raise your hand if you did not get one of these. All right, we'll do it that way. If you didn't, make sure that you grab one on your way out. These are the dates for next year, and I hope you'll go ahead and mark your calendars, October the 13th through the 17th. And we're excited. We hope that you will plan on being here. And I want to just say one more time, thank you to so many of our church family who worked weeks and weeks leading up to this, getting the properties ready, preparing the property, preparing the building, preparing food. Our parking crew has done just an amazing job every single night. The choir here every single night singing. Those who have cleaned up every night. Miss Brenda, who did all the decorating here. Just so many people that have worked. Our audio guys that have been here and set all this up in video. Would you just help me thank them again for their service and their ministry? So much goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, and I'm I'm so thankful for them. Come ahead if you would. And Pastor John Copeland, are you still here? Would you come to the stage and pray for us tonight in the offering? The Perrys are going to come back and sing for us once more during the offering. And again, I have been encouraged. I don't know about you, but I have been encouraged to see the amount of young people at the meeting this year. The teenagers, the young adults, the young couples who have been here, it has encouraged my heart. And as I've said every night, I'm praying that this will be a meeting that we can continue to have every year here. And I pray about an investment that you can make in the service. I appreciate Pastor John Copeland. He pastors the Grace Baptist Church down in Alpine. And he also has been a great friend and a blessing to me. John, if you would pray for the offering tonight.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity that you have given us to come to this place and to worship you tonight. We thank you, Father, for what our hearts have felt, what our ears have heard. And Lord, we thank you for the challenge. Lord, thank you for giving your all. And Lord, may we give our all. Pray that you'd bless this offering tonight, bless this church and this ministry. And Lord, just continue to use it as a lighthouse in this area, that many more souls will be saved. Bless Brother Baldwin and his family. Give them safety as they travel home. And Lord, just continue to guide and direct. We'll give you all the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.